Oh, hello.
Hello.
And welcome to the New York Mystery Machine.
Tammany Hall, but for ghosts.
I'm so sorry, everyone. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Did you... I hope you didn't leave. I hope you didn't leave. I hope you didn't leave. That was loud. It was
Adam
red.
Adam had the warning of me taking a deep inhale of breath and moved their phone, their microphone away.
It was red on the scarlet. It was red on the screen. The screen's a big blob of white noise. We do this because the last few weeks has been me saying to Christina, you need to be louder in your microphone.
Which, did you ever in a million wild years ever think that you would have to say, Christina Marinelli, you are too quiet on this show?
And it's because she's been like having to deal with the fact that there's a child living in the next room.
Yeah, sleeping in the bedroom.
And today's a return of Christina Marinelli in studio.
To the studio.
Welcome back to the studio, Christina.
Thank you.
Your child is offending me. Is what's happening.
What is Tammany doing to offend you?
Well, I just think that Tammany is keeping you from the people you love. Mm-hmm. Isolating you. Mm-hmm. I think she's quite charismatic in what she's doing. All I'm trying to say is we've seen these signs before.
I've seen these signs.
Tammany may be a cult leader.
Ooh.
She's charismatic.
She's charismatic.
People are very attracted to her. She keeps you isolated from people.
She
and
definitely
events
is
and,
taking
and
all of my money.
She takes all of your money. She caused you a little bit of pain.
Mm-hmm. 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 There's psychological trauma from the alien experience.
So I just think
Classic
that
signs.
I think that our next t-shirt is my baby is a cult leader. My baby's a cult leader.
My baby's a cult leader. And we'll just have a little
on the back. On the back is all the reasons
all
that
the reasons.
We know.
Yeah.
And we've done a lot of cult stuff on
know.
The show. So we know.
Classic
we know.
Signs. Tammany. Ooh. Is this actually like an intervention, an on-air intervention? Is that what's happening?
It's just nice to have you in studio.
It's nice to be in studio.
I don't like recording when we're not together.
No, it's less fun and it's less fun.
It's less fun.
It's less good. It's less fun.
But you got to see. I have a new desk.
Nice. The desk looks great.
There's a new desk in studio.
Any of you know what it previously looked like? But
it was not great.
It looks great now.
It's a good desk, and it does this, Christina. You. It lights up. It's a light up desk. I'll post
it's
on the
changing
stories.
Colors.
I'll
too.
Post on the stories next time I record remotely. I'll show you the setup.
How did you not show me that immediately?
It's hard to on the screen.
No, I mean immediately when I walked in.
Oh,
there.
I forgot. It wasn't that important.
Okay. I think it's marvelous.
So many things are happening in the world.
What's
so excited.
Well,
I mean, today is day one of our road trip series.
Road trip.
So we're excited about that.
Road trip.
We're excited about the road trip series. I really wanted the opening credits song to be different for the road trip, and I just never got around.
It's not too late.
Oh,
go
it's
get
too-
your mandolin.
Bam 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 ding 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 ding. I will put it in post if I ever do compose something.
Okay.
Because I'm not gonna do it right now. Dum 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 dum. Wow.
I think composing it in the moment right now would give it the sort of carefree je ne sais quoi. That
you know what I wish I can do? I wish I can ask Andy for all the chords of the actual theme song. And just and re-record it on the mandolin. Road trip.
Honestly, just take that bit right there and move it to the beginning.
That's the new beginning.
That's it. We did it. Adam.
That's gonna be the end of the song. Instead of the normal song at the end of the episode, we'll close that. I'm gonna put that in there. I'm gonna
yes,
cut it.
Please do.
Let's keep
Road trip. Catchy, I love it.
Oh God. You know, Christine, it's worth noting.
It's worth noting, and I can do that full volume.
That dear friend of the show, Jordan W. Mm. Has put together a document for the show.
It's one of the greatest things I've ever
and
seen.
Highlighting, it started with highlighting the amount of times we say it's worth noting on the show. Mm-hmm. But now it's gone.
I'm going to pull this up on my phone.
Now it's gone to a whole new world. She has documented each, what each episode's about. And graphed it. Like,
it
there's a graph
incredible.
Of how many So, for example, she only started doing the It's Worth Noting counter for season three. But so far in season three, we've had 10 episodes where we use the phrase, it's worth noting. Basically, it lets us know how many times you said it's worth noting throughout
the... And what kind of theme, too, has the most it's worth notings, it seems like.
Yeah. So, like, every episode, it's an it's worth noting counter. So that by the end of the season, we're going to put up a poll to see if you could decide how many times we said it's worth noting this season.
It's like a jelly bean jar.
And then on another page, she's broken down all of the different topics we've done in each season. So,
surprise, murder is a lot.
In season one, we did 18 murder episodes. In season two, we did 13 murder episodes. And so far this season, we've done 14. In season one, we did 7 ghosts. In season two, we did 12. And this year, we've done 6. So, and then how many total? It's fascinating.
It is.
We're going to start sharing some of this data.
Only one cannibal ever. I'm still looking. If you know of a cannibal.
Yeah.
Let me know.
So we're gonna...
I know there's Cannibal Cop, but there's some debate as to whether he was actually a cannibal. So, you know, keep trying.
Yeah, it's... we're going to start showing the data soon. But,
I love this. Jordan.
It's insanity.
You're my hero. And whatever we're paying you, it's not enough.
And we're paying you nothing. So, and we never will. I'm not going to pay anyone anything. Ever.
Not enough. Just know that your service is worth
more. I refuse.
More.
I refuse.
I didn't say we can give it to you. I'm just saying.
No.
Excellent work.
Yeah. Anyway, well, kids, as always, we want to thank all of our patrons. We haven't done that in quite some time. I think it's important that we do that. All right. So as always, we want to thank all of our patrons. As a reminder, if you want to support the show in a deep way, you head on over to patreon.com/NYMysteryMachine for as little as $3. You join the community for as little as $5. You get a patron exclusive every month. Today's episode has a patron exclusive attached to it. It's a little bit of an addendum to this episode. So we encourage you to join the Patreon, if not just to hear that, to hear the second part of this. But we want to thank Jordan, our OG patron. We want to thank Carla and Sam and Anne-Marie and Christian Lee and Christina and Kate and Chrissy and Jessica and Jordan and Amanda and Jessica and Britt and Andrea and Amy.
Thank you.
And. we want to thank all of you for joining the community. We love you. We appreciate you. And we're doing our best. I owe people some things, and I'm going to get to those things this week. Someone asked me about the t-shirt that I have yet to send.
Sorry.
It's been a crazy month on the show. It's no excuse. It's just been crazy. We've been recording remotely. I've been doing some renovations in the studio as well as stuff at home in my kitchen. And, you know, so it's been crazy. But I will get all those things I owe people out. If you want anything, if you want to join our Patreon, if you want some merch, we have merch.
Got merch.
If you want anything, head on to nymysterymachine.com. It's our link tree. It gives us all the links to all the things. nymysterymachine.com. It'll give you everything. It'll let you know where to go if you want to share a spooky story with us. It'll let you know where to call if you have a hot take. It'll let you know everything. So be sure to join all that. All right, let's get on to it.
I'm ready.
We've dilly-dallied enough.
What are we doing, Adam?
Christina, our first stop on our road trip 2024.
Woo!
Full month, kids.
Woo!
Brings us to Mountain View, Missouri.
Ooh.
We say Missouri or Missouri? It's Missouri. Or if you're from Missouri, do you say Missouri?
I think that's the question. If you're from
New York, am I allowed to say Missouri?
You say Missouri.
So it's Missouri.
And if you're, I mean, that's how I grew up saying it.
Is it Missouri?
Missouri. It's Missouri.
Missouri.
Missouri?
We're
Missouri.
In Mountain View, in that state.
In the state.
The aforementioned state. And our main character claims to be the first person in America to be abducted by aliens.
Ooh. Adam's doing an alien.
We are back to the aliens, kids. Do you know why we're back to the aliens? Because we ran out of New York aliens.
We ran out of New York aliens.
But now that, there's no rules now.
No rules. I'm ready. Bring on the aliens.
So this takes place in 1954, and our main character's name is Buck Nelson. And Buck wrote down his entire story in a small booklet entitled My Trip to Mars, the Moon, and Venus.
Okay.
Do I have this book?
Do you?
I do. Did I read this whole book?
Did you?
I did. Is it batshit crazy? Ooh, it is.
We love it.
And so today we're going to go through Buck's whole crazy. What's happening to my microphone? Where is it? What's happening? What did I do here?
There. Adam's destroying the studio.
We're going to go through Buck's whole crazy story.
I can't wait. When did Buck publish this? Because it happened in the 50s, you say. Did he publish this in the 50s?
It's like you are reading my script before, because the next line of my script says, the book was published in 1956.
Brilliant.
And this is a couple of years after his journey. When it came out, it brought both attention and people to Buck's farm. But why haven't we heard more about Buck?
Really,
who was he? What happened in 1954? Well, Buck begins his book with a small biography about himself. And I just think I need to read this biography. And I don't know the voice to read it in. Mm. It may be a new one.
I was going to say, I think based on whatever your knowledge is of Buck, having now read this account, I think you need to become that person.
I'll give my readers a brief summary of my life. I was born in Denver, Colorado. You know, good Southern boy.
Right.
With the accent I'm using.
Excellent. Yep. That Denver twang.
It just feels like he's a nice, good old Southern boy.
His name is Buck Nelson.
I mean, all the events happen in the Midwest, and he's born in Colorado, so clearly this accent is appropriate.
Right.
I'll give my readers a brief summary of my life. I was born near Denver, Colorado, in April 9th, 1895. He's like... in the 1800s. That's crazy. I know it's only like 5 years from the 1900s, but it's crazy.
It still feels crazy somehow.
I've spent most of my life on a farm and a large cattle ranches. I only managed to get a sixth grade education at school. I've worked as a top hand on many central western cattle ranches when very young. I have logged and run a sawmill of my own, making both lumber and railroad ties. I have railroaded, worked as special policeman, and farmed and run an auto park, etc., etc. I have traveled in all 48 good old states of the USA. 48!
Wow, well, here we are.
Before Hawaii and Alaska, kids. After tiring of it all, I longed for the farm again. I purchased 80 acres in the Ozark Mountains of Missouri.
Ooh, the Ozarks.
12.5 miles near... from the nearest town of Mountain View, Missouri. Here I farmed some and I bought a sawmill and made lumber and railroad ties. After a few years, old ailments and age got the best of me and I retired. Lucky to have my Ozark Mountain home. As you'll read in my story, the flying saucers first appeared over my Ozark Mountain in July 30th, 1954. I wrote of the experience to the Springfield, Missouri newspaper. They printed it in their daily paper. As I had no experience as a writer or lecturer, I intended to drop the whole thing right there and forget it all. Then, Mr. James L. Hill of Seymour, Missouri, Route 2, World War veteran, read the article in the paper. Mr. Hill thought the world should know about my experience and mailed a copy of the paper to flying saucer clubs in the East. I was investigated by several in the East, and I was called to lecture to the public to tell my story on the stage at halls, churches, and schools. So the world and I are indebted to James L. Hill. Also, George Adamski, who has done much to help me, and he tells the world he believes my story. Now I am thankful that my story was not dropped right there and forgotten, as I since had many contacts with spacemen and my trip to Mars, the Moon, and Venus, for which I will be ever thankful. So I must stop here and let my readers read my story. Every bit of it is true. True is capitaled.
Oh, okay.
Dot. That's all the dots.
Dot. So it's two ellipses and a dot. It's a period at the end of those two ellipses.
Yeah. So here's the thing about this story.
Yes, please. I already have thoughts, but go on.
It comes out in the 50s. Uh-huh. We have yet to send a man into the moon.
Right.
We know nothing of Mars and Venus.
Yep.
So it's easy to say that this is all bullshit.
Right. Yep.
But this man believes it. Mm-hmm. And so I have theories.
Yeah.
Later.
Yes.
That I will go into in depth.
Excellent.
Because I don't disbelieve Buck.
Ooh, so twist. Plot twist.
I have theories. Well, I don't know. We'll talk about it.
All right.
For now, let's talk about Buck.
Take me to Mars and Venus.
Buck's story begins with first contact. It begins July 30th, 1954. Buck says he was listening to his radio while he was at home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. All of a sudden, the radio begins to go crazy. It's switching stations. It's becoming static. The volume is bouncing up and down. His dog began to bark aggressively, and his pony outside, quote, began to raise all kinds of cane. So Buck heads outside to see what his animals were doing that was causing such a stir. Buck heads out the kitchen door, and right over his head, he sees a huge dislike object. He runs back inside to get his camera, and he also grabs a flashlight. When he returns, he photographs the flying saucers three times. However, the pictures, when they came back from being developed and printed, only showed two of what he saw, and he calls what he saw things.
Okay.
So a lot of times I'm going to refer to you as the things.
The things.
These are the flying saucers. He said that at that point, he had never heard the phrase flying saucers, which is pretty active.
It's early days.
It's the 50s. It's 54.
Yeah.
You know.
Unless you're already a sci-fi buff, you know, probably not thinking too much about them.
After he takes the photos, he waves a flashlight at the things as a signal for them to come down and land.
So, oh, all right. Not what I would have done.
Buck, what are you doing? Buck, what are you doing? Hey!
Down here!
Down here! Come on down!
I mean, I guess if you've never... If flying saucers haven't entered the zeitgeist and
if the idea of aliens are alien to you.
Right. Then you're just like, I wonder what branch of the army this is. Come on down. Come hang out. Weird. Still weird. Still weird.
Well, instead of them coming down, Buck says they shot some kind of ray at him.
Yep.
It was much brighter and hotter than the sun. He said the heat was so intense that he wouldn't have been able to stand it if it lasted even a few seconds longer. The ray knocked him down behind a barrel. Buck said that he waited until the things had left before he tried getting up. Now, here's where something incredibly strange happens to Buck. Buck had suffered from lumbago for 15 years.
What's lumbago?
Now, lumbago is just old talk for lower back pain.
Okay.
Like, we don't use it anymore. I Googled it, and everyone's like, yeah, it's old-timey talk. Like, your meemaw, your peepaw probably use that language, but no one uses it anymore. It's just lower back pain.
Lumbago. Bring back lumbago.
Bring back lumbago. Let's put on a t-shirt.
Bring back.
Again, now, just lower back pain. Buck said the oddest thing happened. When he started getting up for the first time in years, he felt no pain. Even at the time of writing the book, he was no longer feeling any pain in his back. He said the ray also helped his eyes so much that he no longer needed to wear glasses even to read.
Interesting.
Fascinating.
So it's a healing ray.
It's like healing
of
ray.
Pain.
Healing ray of pain. You got to hurt to feel better. So that's first contact, the flying discs leave. And I will say that all of the events that took place on that day are by far the least strange part of the story.
I cannot wait.
The least strangest thing that you will hear me utter in this podcast today, I just uttered.
Was that a flying saucer shot a healing ray at this
the
man
least
in 1954.
Strangest thing, I promise you.
Beautiful.
It only gets weirder from here, kids. Bug said that his second contact with the things came 6 months later on February 1st, 1955 at 12 noon. This time they circled low around his house and asked in a friendly voice whether I was friendly or not. Apparently they spoke English or had some kind of ability to speak and translate into language. He said it sounded like some public address system, and they said they wanted to land in the back of his pasture beyond the house where there was a spring. They wanted to know if he would allow them to land unmolested many times if necessary.
I love the politeness. It's very Douglas Adams to me. This is very Hitchhiker's Guide.
Very Hitchhiker's Guide. I do love the phrase
unmolested.
Can we land unmolested as many times as necessary? What do you mean unmolested? Unmolested. You know. Can we land unmolested? Can we trust you that we can land unmolested upon your pasture? I guess. Come on down. I'm not going to molest you. It's just me and my dog and my pony. We're not going to molest you. Nothing. Proceed unmolested. However, they don't land.
Oh.
Instead,
they were just checking.
Instead, they talked for a while. Okay. And I could just imagine it's like, how's your day? It's good. It's great. That's good.
Do you want to come down yet?
Not yet. We just wanted to make sure that we can, if needed, land unmolested upon your pasture. Yeah, that's you. You're really pushing the unmolested part. I feel like this is something that you need to say now. Like this is something has happened.
Right, right.
It's like when there's a sign saying no this here, it's because it's already
someone's
happened.
Already done the thing.
Like
yeah.
No boogie boarding down the stairs. It's because
someone boogie boarded. Someone took their boogie board.
After they finished speaking, they bid him farewell and they said, we'll see you again. A little over a month goes by, and then on March 5th, 1955, about midnight, they landed and came up to the house. This is the first time Buck had seen the entities that were in the things. Buck said that three men and a huge dog showed up on his doorstep. Proper aliens.
Proper aliens.
We must head for the door, is what these aliens must have said.
With like, our dog.
Like, I know what a door looks like. Now, one of the men was a young Earth man, he described, who apparently had gone to Venus 2 years before this. He was called Little Buck or Bucky. But like, that's his name. More thoughts on that later. More thoughts on that later. More thoughts on that later.
Okay.
Little Bucky. The next man was a trainee, he was told. He was learning to operate the spaceship. He did not pick up that guy's name. The third man's name was Bob Solomon. Buck says that he was later told that Bob was 200 years old, but he didn't look any older than little Bucky, who was 19. And last but not least was the big dog named Bo. Apparently, he put up his paw to shake hands just as the men had. When Bo...
So these are all humans. These are none of them aliens right now.
One person is an Earthman. The other two are
unclear.
Are unclear.
Okay.
One man is an Earthman.
And that's...
Little Bucky, who was on Venus 2 years prior.
Great.
But the other ones are not described as Earthmen just yet.
Okay.
When Bo the dog stood on his hind legs, he was taller than Buck. Bo also weighed 385 pounds.
That's a big dog. That's a large boy.
Can you imagine?
That's a large boy.
This big ass fucking dog shows up to your house and he's like, hello. Give his big paw the size of your fucking head. They stay with Buck for about an hour. Like, they go inside his house. This big-ass dog goes
where,
in the house.
I'd like to know where the dog's
Where's
at.
Where's the dog staying? They were interested in everything and everything, anything and everything of the house. They compared their things with his things and showed him how theirs made less work. His bed, for instance, had dust under it. They told him how their beds were built half into the wall.
No dust.
So are these aliens claiming to invent the Murphy bed?
Yes.
It's like Oz in the wall, on the wall. Whoa. Write that down. Were these aliens or salespeople?
They're, like, right, that's what this is. Okay.
Would you like also like one of these? You can build it. If you want. There are no blankets or sheets to wash, nor even bed making to do. They have a sort of canopy that comes down over the bed for privacy, and dials could be set for your comfort. Is it a sleep number bed?
I think it's a sleep number bed.
These guys invented Murphy sleep number beds.
Which, to be fair, to this day, don't exist. You can't have a sleep number bed that's a Murphy bed, can you?
Yeah, I don't think you can.
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can. Even the pillows are part of the mattress. They feel it was made similar to foam rubber with a soft, smooth, washable surface. Did they also invent memory foam? I will say this much, though. I don't know about Murphy beds, but sleep numbers and memory foam are not public use in 1954.
That's true.
So their description of it is like things that we do have now.
That is a great point.
That were not being used in the mid-50s.
That's a great point.
It's worth noting that.
It's worth noting.
Buck would then build a fire in his wood stove to show the spacemen how it worked, and he also lit his oil stove. Bob Solomon just about burned his hand on it.
About burned his hand.
That's what it said, and I felt like it needed some southern accent.
I like it.
Because I figured it felt very southern.
That feels.
Bob Solomon just burned his hand on it. Shoot. He thought it was not hot. They wanted to know about the radio, especially the battery on top of it, and Buck told them that the battery was for power. They waved their hands over their heads and said, What with all this power of a head, you use that? They shook their heads. They said they plugged their lights and appliances into their radio for power. And well, their energy came from above.
Okay.
Like they harnessed energy.
Okay.
That isn't from a source.
Okay. They just
the world has energy.
Okay. All right.
Which it does. We have kinetic energy all around us.
Just tapping into it.
And they know how to connect, tap into it. Are you guys enjoying the story so far? Isn't it ridiculous?
Wild.
I would love to tell you that this is the weirdest thing. It's
not. But it says yet to come.
Because Buck has yet to go into space yet. Okay. And we're going to get there. At one point, the spaceman passed a picture of Jesus and other Christian pictures on Buck's wall. So Buck asks if this guy or these pictures mean anything to them. And one of them remarked, yes, we understand, but you people don't.
Ooh.
They said that people have an entire misconception of it. Agreed. Actually, agree with this alien.
Uh-huh.
We do have a misconception about Jesus and religion and all that jazz.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure the picture that Buck has is white Jesus.
Yep.
That's not accurate.
That's not accurate.
At this point, Buck wants to know why they're there. He's like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? You're talking about Murphy Benz.
Would have been my first question, but go on.
No, Buck is like, I don't want to offend them. Give him some like fucking crumpets and shit and then they'll walk.
It's very Midwestern nice of him.
So nice. So then they finally tell him, they make an offer to Buck. They said that they'd like him to go on a trip with them to other planets, but only if he will tell the world about it.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that's good marketing.
That is great marketing.
Hey, come to space with us, only if you tell people about it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because most of the time they're like, you can't tell people
about
it.
Don't tell anybody about this.
And he's like, oh, this book is against the...
The rules.
The
of...
rule that I... But they're like, no.
Go tell the world.
Tell the fucking world.
Do you have a theory about that too?
No.
Okay, great.
They leave after. On March 22nd, 1955, at about midnight, the spacemen circled low over Buck's house. They didn't land. They came down and told him to get ready for his trip to space. Down back of the house, there are three springs, right? And the spacemen cleared out these springs. They asked permission to get the water from them at any time they wished. Ideally, unmolested.
Yeah.
They had placed 12 rocks in a circle. They said these 12 rocks were a symbol of the 12 laws of God, which were also their only laws. Ooh, yeah. You didn't think we were going to get religious?
No, I didn't.
Ooh,
honestly.
We're getting religious, kids.
Interesting.
April 24th, 1955, the big day. It is Space Day.
Space Day.
They will pick Buck up at midnight, and he was asked to put on a clean pair of overalls with nothing in his pockets. He was told that anything he took would be instantly magnetized, so he could not take his watch.
Mm.
Buck said he left milk out for his cat, Crazy. Cat's name is Crazy, with a K. And Trixie, his horse, could get the feed from the range. His dog, Ted.
Ted.
I look at my heart. His dog, Ted, would go on the trip with him. It's worth noting.
It's worth noting.
I would absolutely fucking take my dog to space.
I'm actually
if
really
I'm going.
Yeah.
If so Ted was here, I'm taking Teddy to space with me.
See, my concern is the cat and the pony left behind. Did he make provisions in case it takes, I don't know, a little bit longer than 8 hours or whatever to go into space and come back?
No.
If he's going to come back, that cat's going to be gone.
He left out milk.
Milk only lasts so long.
Which you also shouldn't feed your cat.
It's actually not great for them.
I don't know a lot about cats, but I know that you shouldn't feed them the milk.
Gives them a tummy ache.
Give them belly aches. Water's fine. Water's good for everybody.
Yeah.
Anyway, space. There it is. I just imagine if it was Teddy, he'd be like, I go to space. And I would go to space as well. I come to space. I go. Before he enters the ship, Buck is told to write down the 12 laws of God. You know, from before. He sat by the rocks and he wrote them down word for word as they're given to him. Christina.
What are they?
Here are the 12 laws of God.
Okay.
On Venus. For that is where the men hailed from. Buck writes in his book the following, quote, "These 12 laws were given to Buck Nelson at his farm at Mountain View, Missouri, on April 24th, 1955, by men from the planet Venus. These laws are following faithfully and are not just something to mention occasionally."
Hmm.
Love. Love your maker, your parents, your neighbors, all birds and animals of the earth, and everything in the sea and the air. Honor. Honor your God and parents. Obey God's law, which is also man's law. Obey. obey God's law, your parents, and the rights of others. Now, what are the laws?
Those were not the laws?
Those are the guidelines. Those are the guidelines. Love, honor, and obey.
Okay.
Like the three
principles.
Principles, okay. One may say. Here are the laws. Love your maker, God. Thou shalt not kill. That includes accidents and war. Mm-hmm. Love your neighbor. Let your light shine before men, and all will see your good works, and it will be an honor to you and your maker, God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou must do as thou wish to be done by. No other God shall be before thee. Do not take the name of God in vain. Honor your father and mother. Your body is God's. Do not misuse it in any way. Do not drink or eat anything that is not food. Use nothing to harm the body, either inside or out. Wear nothing on the body that harms it, or it is of no use. And finally, God has made the heaven and earth, and we must give him thanks for what he gives to us. So, the 12 commandments?
Yeah. They've...
You just kind of like expanded 10 into 12. Expanded
10, did a little tweaking of some words, reordered them a little, and said, good enough.
This is good enough.
This is pretty good.
With these 12 laws of God and the rules governing them all, it's all enclosed in a Bible of some 20 pages. The people of the other planets in our solar system are able to live in an order without wars, without armed forces or police, without tobacco, coffee, or tea, without liquor or harmful drugs, from the use of unrefined natural foods. Disease is very rare, hence no hospitals, no prisons, or sanitariums. The span of life is greatly extended. The cost of government is small, and the rule being based on truth and justice. Hmm. And that is...
Lovely.
Sounds lovely.
Minus the no coffee or alcohol.
Yeah. So Buck gets on the ship.
Okay.
He sat down and they showed him how easy it was to take the ship into space. After he gets into the ship and the ship gets high enough into space, he's told he's allowed to play with the controls on his first trip. Hey, fuck around. You're good. Buck, we like you. Fuck around with it. So Buck was having the time of his life fucking around with all these ship controls.
Oh my gosh.
But it was making the ship do wild stuff. Because, you know, he was just pressing buttons and shit. Like you do. Now, if you're wondering what was happening to the two dogs and all this while all this stuff is happening.
We mean the Ted and the enormous 300
Ted
pound...
and Bo.
Right, okay.
Buck says that Big Bo had a cage in case of emergency. And there was a spare cage for any extra animals that were on board. But Teddy was so frightened and jumped onto Bucky's lap.
Yeah, that's all.
Bucky, Little Bucky's lap. Buck fell asleep for a while, and Bucky woke him up, and they said they were just about to land on Mars. Before they landed, the ship tilted so that Buck can see a canal system as well as horses and cattle in the field. You know, things on Mars. They landed about 20 feet away from the door of a ruler's home.
Ooh.
Then, when they entered the home, they were able to eat a great meal and leave for the moon. And we think this is Earth's moon.
Sure. That makes sense.
An odd way to travel.
Yeah.
To go real far out, come back
to the moon.
But hey.
But you know, if you're going to Venus eventually, it's kind of on the way.
You got to go up and down, you know, space stuff. They landed on the light side of the moon and again went to the ruler's home and ate a meal. Then they took off and sometime later they landed on Venus. Mm-hmm. During this, Buck loses track of all time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He has no idea how long it's been, how long were they on Mars, how long were they on the moon.
Again, which is why initially I was like, you should probably set someone else up to also feed your cat and your...
Yeah, he has no idea what time it is. He has no watch.
Yeah.
So he gets to Venus and in theory, he later finds out it's now a bit later. Time has passed.
Yeah.
The ruler at this place, because again, there's rulers at all the places. There's a ruler on Mars, on the moon, and there's a ruler. They all wine and dine him. This one was painting when they got there, and he was wearing overalls. His overalls didn't have all the buckles and hooks that ours do, but they were made of a different material.
Okay.
He was told that there on Venus, they live by the laws of God, as you remember from before.
We know that.
The laws from before. You know, the 12.
The 12.
They only stay 20 minutes at each stop on Venus. They're like, we gotta go, you guys.
Lusty.
I got my cat, you know. Bucky managed to show Buck what he would eventually call it the book machine. When a book was put into it, it would read the page, play any music, or show any picture it contained. It was about the size of a television set. At each of the two homes on Venus was a clock showing a face of 17 numerals. The food consisted of meat, milk, eggs, fish, and many kinds of salads, and many cooked vegetables. He recognized corn positively because it was not broken up in the cooking. Mm. And thus ends their time in space.
Okay.
They return to Earth, and their return actually occurs midnight on April 27th, 1955.
When did he leave?
Buck leaves on April 24th.
So it's a few days. It's a few days. It's been a few days. It's been 3 days.
So he probably should have done a little bit more for his cat and his pony.
I mean, mercifully, I was waiting for it to be like 10 years later.
No, it's only 3 days later.
Yeah.
Here are Buck's general thoughts from his trip. He says, quote, "Folks on Mars, the moon, Venus, they look like us here on Earth, but are much better looking in general. They dress more simply as they don't use ties, buckles, beads, bangles, earrings, or bracelets.
None of that newfangled cosmetics junk.
Nothing is worn which restricts the body any way. One of their 12 laws of God governs this, as you recall, from before.
From before.
12 laws. Men wear overall tight pants without buckles and studs. The material is different. They eat some meat.
They eat some meat.
At least that's what he had when he cooked, and it when they cooked for him, and it tasted like meat.
Great.
Their food seemed to consist mostly of fruits and vegetables. Otherwise, they were
Mediterranean diet.
Yeah, they're healthy, happy people. Disease was rare. Mm-hmm. They, of course, lived the laws of God, as you remember from before.
As we've heard.
They don't have doctors as we know them to be.
Who needs them?
They are their own doctors and use what Buck calls a natural medicines. Mm-hmm. If they occasionally need a medicine at all, that's what they use. Mm-hmm. In fact, they gave him milkweed. They gave him a milkweed kind of lotion to use for a rash that he had on his body from the change of the water.
Right.
That Venus water will fucking get you.
You know, they'd like to use natural remedies except when they need to hit you with a healing laser beam. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One thing they told Buck that was on Earth, they should use hypnotism to stop pain, and that hypnotism should never be used for entertainment.
Oh.
It should only be used to like manage your fucking pain.
Don't make your colleagues, you know, quack like a chicken and
stuff
like that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Quack like a chicken. Okay.
The folks on Venus said that he spoke English very well. It seems that they have learned the language of the people that they are in contact with, and they're consistently developing their own language. He learned that Bucky was, in fact, an Earthman who was born in Colorado and was taken to Venus when he was 17 years old. When he was about 4 years old, the space people came to his parents and invited him to go to Venus. The parents did not want to go themselves, but they agreed to bring Bucky so that he could do the work which he is doing now. Take our kid. We don't fucking want him.
What? That's crazy.
Just take him. He's fine.
And what is the work that he's doing now? Spreading the gospel of the Venusians?
Bucky teaches English on Venus.
Oh!
He's an English teacher. When Bucky and Buck get to checking up, they discover they're distant cousins. Bucky told him many things about his ancestors, which Buck had never known before. The hardest thing Buck said he ever had to do was come back to Earth and try to get along under the primitive conditions for which they were living with in the hills that they had been in at the time. Mm-hmm. And with that, Buck is set now to begin to tell his story.
Oh.
Because he's done his trip to Mars and Venus and the moon.
And now it's
and part of the deal, Christina.
What's to publicize this?
What's to publicize it? And so when we get back from the break, Buck is going to start his tour of telling the world about his trip to Mars and the moon and Venus.
Amazing.
We'll be back after these fine words from us. Let's talk about Audible.
Yes. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks, ranging from bestsellers to memoirs, news, business, and more. And now you can start your own free trial by heading to www.audibletrial.com /NYMysteryMachine.
Your free 30-day trial comes with 1 credit, 2 credit for Amazon Prime members, good for any premium selection titles you like, yours to keep. The Audible Plus catalog consists of podcasts, audiobooks, guided wellness, and Audible originals. Listen all you want, no credits needed.
Audible allows you to download titles and listen offline, anytime, anywhere. Perfect for long trips or even cozy afternoons to yourself.
The app is free and can be installed on smartphones and tablets, and you can listen across devices without losing your spot.
I just recently checked out The Mad Sculptor by Harold Schechter, which we based a whole episode on.
You're darn right we did. And I'm sure they have even more true crime and paranormal books in the collection as well.
Again, Audible isn't just audiobooks. They have podcasts, guided wellness programs, theatrical performances, A-list comedy, and exclusive Audible originals you won't find anywhere else.
Wait, podcast? Does that include the New York Mystery Machine?
Sure does. To start your free 30-day trial, head to www.audibletrial.com/NY Mystery Machine.
That's www.audibletrial.com/NY Mystery Machine. The New York Mystery Machine is brought to you in part by listeners like you.
That's right. Head on over to our Patreon, and for as little as $3 a month, you can help keep the pod growing.
By joining, you can access a whole bunch of cool stuff, such as mini episodes, swag, exclusive playlists, and more.
Head to www.patreon.com/NYMysteryMachine to find out more and become a patron.
That's www.patreon.com/NYMysteryMachine and join our ever-growing community today. And we're back.
We're back.
We're back. We're not molested.
We're not molested, nor will we molest anyone.
We won't. And we always ask to make sure.
Yeah.
Making sure we will not be molested upon arrival.
Even if we take your water.
We may need to take your water and put your rocks in some weird formation so that we can let you know about the 12 laws of God in Venus. Is it cool? We need verbal consent. Is it cool?
It's cool. It's cool, guys. It's cool.
Okay. He said it's cool. You would think we recorded 3 episodes today.
We did not.
I'm just feeling good. Christine's in the room today. Okay. So after his trip, he's taken to a saucer club in Chicago. Not on a saucer. What's a saucer club, Christine?
What's a saucer? Is it a club where you talk about flying saucers? Is it like a cigar club where you talk about smoking jackets?
That's what it makes it seem like. I couldn't find any real actual.
I'm picturing like a cigar and whiskey club.
And people are just talking about aliens and shit.
Yes, that's what I want to believe.
He's not allowed to use his own name or tell his story to the group, which is weird because the point of this is to tell a story.
Right.
He also wasn't allowed to take any pictures. After the meeting's over, the spacemen met him and told him that he had not done it as they agreed.
Obviously.
He wasn't allowed to. He didn't tell the story. Bucky, however, knew the wicked ways of the world, and he told Buck that he would help him get another chance to tell his story. He then was taken to Detroit by the Saucer Club there and told his experience at the Veterans Memorial Building on July 26, 1955.
Okay.
Unknown to anyone, a representative of the planet Venus was in the crowd that night.
Oh, celebrity.
And after the meeting, he tells Buck that he had done the right thing and that he would now be allowed to go on another trip into space.
Wow.
No date was set for that. He says, many will no doubt remember him speaking about that. And he spoke of the same place on July 28th, 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the point of the book where Buck is like, hey, there's receipts.
Yeah, I spoke
about this.
Right.
In case you are reading and thinking, this didn't happen. People were there. Many. Who are they? I don't know, but they are there.
But there are many of them, and they will say.
Now, people begin to gather down at Buck's farm at Mountain View to hear his tale. Word is spreading.
Yeah.
He's like talking to people about
this. I got these stones.
The stones, and he's an alien and all these things. So two people who visit are Mrs. Fanny Lowry and her sister Florence Collins. At the time, Mrs. Lowry wanted to know the spacemen were coming back. He told her that Bob Solomon had bid him farewell, but Bucky said he would try to come back sometime around the Earth holidays. While he was visiting, fuck you left a message for the world, which, don't worry about it, Buck recorded.
Oh, good.
On tape. He also answered Mrs. Lowry's question. Here are his words, exactly how he spoke them. This is Bucky's Christmas message to the world. I don't have a recording of it. I couldn't find that. So I instead will need to do my best.
Inhabit. Yeah.
I wish to tell all a Merry Christmas. Especially thank Fanny Lowry for her card. Also, give her the answer to her question. Yes, it has happened to our ships.
What?
Torn apart for souvenirs.
So apparently,
their ships
have people have found their ships and torn them apart.
Roswell.
Here it is.
I appreciate such gifts, and I know that the giver does not expect anything in return, as we cannot exchange gifts with this earth. Many know the reason. Buck here can tell you all that ask. We'll tell you why I am here. I have just returned from California, then on my way to see my folks in Colorado. Now I'm here to see you, Buck, and tell the world on this tape recording that this world must give up atomic weapons and warfare. The next war, if fought, will be on American soil. America will be destroyed when civilization all over the world will be destroyed. We are here to see which way this world will use atomic power. For peace or war? We have stood by and seen other planets, one after another, destroy itself. Is this world next? We wonder and watch and wait. Again, I say, give up your atomic weapons and may peace be on this earth. I will tell Buck much more that he can tell the world. I know that Buck will want my time here to be spent in a private home-like way, and I also desire in that way, so I must say goodbye to all the world from Bucky of Venus.
Incredible.
That's how it sounded on the cassette tape.
I felt transported personally.
I know you, that's how everyone felt.
I'm stuck on Mrs. Lowry giving a card for Bucky. I love that as the opener. Yeah. Thank you for the card.
Here's our answer to that question.
Yes.
Yes, they do. Now, radio and TV begins to have Buck as a guest on their programs. He believed that some 1,500 people from Mars and Venus were in the nation by 1956. In 1956, he traveled to Washington, D.C. and spoke at a fashionable local church, which he shared his experience with a packed house for more than 2 hours. Not all the response, however, was good. According to news stories that printed across the country, the church said it was, quote, it was all an error in having him there and that we don't want any publicity on that.
Interesting.
By September 1956, he's receiving regular correspondence from the curious, apparently including the U.S. government, which allegedly interviewed him that year in D.C. He says, quote, they questioned me at the underground Capitol Hill, took me in a building, the one south of the Capitol, and then we went underground till I didn't know where I was. Hmm. Buck recounted this in the News and Leader. The government was disappointed in my story, disappointed because I couldn't tell them any more than what I already knew. I don't know who the folks was that questioned me, but they did not hold me. They was nice, even fed me. Hmm. 3 years after his visit into space, Buck launches this new idea. Like the people from space that came to see him, perhaps folks from all over can come to now see Buck as well. Hmm. So in 1958, he announces that on June 28th and 29th, a space convention would be held at his Mountain View farm. The Post-Dispatch noted in July 1958, quote, space conventions differ from most other conventions in that there is nothing official about them, and anyone who wants can hold one. Mm-hmm. Back near Mountain View, the town promptly sells out its motel space. It's
great for business.
Doesn't have a lot, but it sells it all out. Which isn't really a problem for the attendees because they're open to they're just camping out on Buck's farm itself.
Better to see the flying saucers, etc.
Concessions and free water and firewood were also available on site. And in the end, a few hundred people made the trek to Buck's farm near Texas Howell County line, a figure which included reporters and skeptics. But it was far less than originally expected.
Okay. Modest turnout.
Yeah. As one would expect, attendees hoped for a sighting, right? Why else are you going to go to this guy's farm? While Buck could not provide this for them, like he couldn't like get his friends from Venus to like just show up, there was a moment of excitement as Mrs. David McClure and her husband left the event and spotted something in the sky. They said in the local newspaper, quote, "Through binoculars, the object looked white and orangey." The object would quickly vanish, but not before the McClure's pointed out two other cars filled with convention attendees. "Good thing we had witnesses along, otherwise people might not believe us." Now, word of the sighting would zoom across the country. In the days following, there would be reports in Alabama, New Mexico, Oklahoma, California, Texas, South Carolina, Louisiana, Indiana, Washington, New Jersey, Rhode Island, New York, Delaware, Oregon, Ohio, Wisconsin, South Dakota, Maine, Florida, Kansas, Wyoming, Pennsylvania, Arkansas, and Minnesota, who would all carry the story and or photos from Buck's convention.
Wow.
One of the people who attended in those early years was named Sue Ellen Price. Her family lived in Mountain View. While she was in elementary school, her family attended one of Buck's conventions. Price said the following, quote, "I remember some guy leaning against a fence the whole time we were there with binoculars looking at the sky. The entire time, as I remember, a big round burned off place was in the field." Many others over time would talk about burn marks in this field.
Hmm.
Earlier in the episode, during Buck's biography, I mentioned the name James Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the early 60s, James Hill would emerge. He styles himself as a space traveler and a member of the Interplanetary Fellowship, which was regularly mentioned in connection with Buck.
Sure.
Now, there's a question as to how embedded Hill was in Buck's work. According to an article in the Kansas City Times, Hill was involved even before Buck's account of being taken into outer space was publicly known.
Okay.
It seems the two were acquainted in 1955 when Buck wrote Hill after citing about his first experience, presumably given Hill's own connections.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1963, the two of them petitioned the U.S. Congress for $25 million to build a space research center at Mountain View. And that's obviously turned down.
Right, right. You mean it didn't happen?
These two random people. He's like, can we have $25 million to build a space thing?
No.
But we need it.
No.
To build space things. I have 12 laws from before. 2 years later, they came back with an amended request. Only $150,000, they said, it would be possible to use other techniques revealed by their space brothers to create the endless supply of water for the United States to make the deserts bloom.
Hmm.
This apparently also rejected. But can we have $150,000?
No.
But it's to make...
No.
We want to make the deserts bloom.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
According to the 12 laws from before. The next year, Buck shared that the sky was suddenly filled with hundreds of flying saucers. Hill allegedly also saw them. After the saucers departed, Buck encountered three men, around 7 or 8 feet tall, in coveralls, who disintegrated an alien cat in his front yard.
I'm sorry, who disintegrated an alien cat?
They disintegrated an ailing cat. It's ailing.
So the cat was ill, and they disintegrated it.
This is according to the Post-Dispatch in 1966, that these dudes were like, oh, this cat's sick? Bam!
It sounds like that's what they tried to do to Buck initially, and they failed.
Fuck this guy.
He's got some lumbago or whatever.
Lumbago saved him.
Get rid of him. Oops, seemed to have...
Buck would go on to print more books and pamphlets that became more and more controversial. Some blended his space interactions with deeper beliefs on religious and social issues. One called Unusual and Little-Known Facts That Are in Our Bible is one of these.
Oh, man.
It's a 24-page pamphlet that bulletins thoughts on biblical passages, reminders about how to contact Buck at his farm, and concludes with pages for ads for his own space convention.
Incredible.
It also promotes another one of his publications, quote, White Man Awaken. Dr. Thomas Michael Kersen, the author of Where Misfits Fit, Countercultural and Its Influence in the Ozarks, wrote the following in his book, quote, Buck seemed to think segregation by race existed amongst the aliens he encountered. In other words, when he visited other worlds, aliens had systems of oppression exactly like our own. Doesn't say whether he believes that we should also
have them. That's my next question.
But he's acknowledging that that racism and segregation is everywhere.
Okay.
It never says if he's for or against it.
Okay.
Okay. But he acknowledges that it exists everywhere, even interplanetary.
Okay.
The last year the conference was noted in newspapers was 1966. Attendance seemed to fluctuate over the years, but by that time, it was down to just a few dozen people.
Mm-hmm.
Also around that time, Buck had explored other avenues to attract visitors, including carnivals and rodeo shows, but nothing was really working out for him. The space boom was starting to not be as luxurious as we were starting to get. You know, this is 1966.
Yeah.
We're sending men into space pretty regularly.
Yeah.
No one has stepped foot on the moon just yet, but we're pretty close. In 3 years, we'll have men on the moon. 3 years later, Buck's home would burn down to the ground in what people believe was an act of arson.
Mm.
Local lore says he moves away in the later years, reportedly out of state. By the 1970s, news articles noted that he was deceased. A Springfield paper noted his death by 1973.
Mm-hmm.
The Post-Dispatch reported him dead by 77, and Wikipedia claims it's 1982. So there's a bunch of different thoughts on when he actually dies. A limited liability company was formed in 2019 as Buck Nelson UFO Ranch to, quote, provide care and improvements to the Buck Nelson Ranch property.
Interesting.
Dr. Thomas Kirsten, author of Where Misfits Fit, said, quote, I'm not sure how much Buck Nelson actually believed, but he was extremely entrepreneurial and creative. There is now a boutique in Mountain View and a cafe called Cosmic Cafe in recognition of what happened with Buck. Inside the shop, there's a framed article about Buck, reprints of his book, vinyl records painted with celestial sayings. In early 2022, Buck's book would be reprinted. Its description on the Barnes & Noble website proclaims that the book is, quote, the first time the Nelson FBI file has been made public. And that is the story of Buck Nelson's
that
trip to space.
Wild.
I do want to thank Ozarks Alive. It's a blog on the old internet for a lot of additional information for the story. So in additional to Buck's book, I got a lot of the aftermath information from Ozarks Alive. And so I just want to thank them for that.
I don't know what to make of this. You said you have theories. I want to know them.
If this is true.
Yes.
Buck traveled to a different dimension, not a different planet.
Okay.
It's multiverse.
Okay. I was going
to it's the only likely, we know what Venus and Mars and the moon look like.
Yeah.
So none of this can be true in this world.
Right.
In this universe, it can't be true.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And do you know how I made that connection?
How did you make that connection?
Because Bucky isn't his cousin, it's Buck.
From a different universe. Okay.
And that's why all the information is pretty same, because when we look at the multiverse theory, most of our other selves are not far from who we are in this multiverse,
right?
Most of the time it's little changes and little events. So in the other universe,
it's still
Bucky gets picked up at 17 instead of waiting until he's an old man.
Okay. I was going to say that if this happened, he got either confused as to where he was going or like misunderstood, or they just labeled him planets that made him feel better somehow. Like he wasn't going that far out of the system. But I like your multiverse theory a lot more.
That's the only way it works. That's the only way it's a true story. Because this would have worked when it first came out in 1956, because we had no images. We had nothing. But now that we're in 2024 and people are still like jumping on the story, the only way this works is if it's a multiverse story.
Yeah. I like that theory. I don't know what to make of this.
It's crazy.
I don't know if he was just like trying to do a marketing thing, like this is how he's going to make his millions thing, or if he believed it.
The thing is that this book comes out before he starts having festivals.
Right. So he believed it enough to, otherwise it's a really long game, but like.
Yeah. Otherwise it's a really long game.
But he must believe. I don't know what to make of this. This is weird. It's a weird one.
If this is true, Buck traveled the multiverse. He didn't travel our planets.
Yeah.
And
might also explain why they're so nice and chill compared to a lot of the versions of aliens that show up in other abduction stories.
Or it's complete bullshit. Who knows, right? Like, either way, it's either bullshit because we know what Mars, the Moon, and Venus are. Mm-hmm. We know that Venus is inhabitable. We know Mars is inhabitable currently. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Moon
does not have a ruler's house on it.
And it's also inhabitable as well, right?
Well, like, there's that, yeah.
You know, you also can't. But we've actually been to the Moon.
Right.
The light side, which he described as where they went.
Right.
We've been
right.
to the Moon. So we know. So the only way this works is if there's a multiverse story.
I don't mind believing
that it's the multiverse. I like some interdimensional travel.
What a doozy.
Welcome to the road trip, y'all. Welcome to the road trip. Not just traveling to Missouri. We're traveling across the multiverse.
Yeah, really. I was going to say, you lowballed with we're going to Missouri.
If you guys have any thoughts, we'd love to hear it. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Your thoughts are what we love
to hear.
So if you have any ideas about any of this, you know where to find us. You can always email us, nymysterymachine@gmail.com. But you guys know the absolute best way to let us know any of your hot takes is to dial into our hot take hotline. Ooh, hot take hotline. And to do that, you head on over, you dial on your old telephone, 917-426-4262. That is 917-426-4262. We'd love to hear your hot take, please. We'd love to hear it.
We'd love to hear it. I'm dying to hear your hot take. You know I love a hot take.
We're dying to hear it. So let us know. If you have any crazy stories, were you abducted by an alien? Let us know. You head on over to nymysterymachine.com and click the Your Stories tab. And we would love to hear your story and share it with all of your fellow listeners. As well, we invite you to follow us on our Instagram, our TikTok, and our Facebook at NY Mystery Machine, on the X at NY Mysteries. Join us on our Patreon. Do all those things.
Yeah, do it.
We're back next week with an all-new On the Road episode of The New York Mystery Machine. I've been Adam Ace.
I've been Christine Marinelli.
And thank you ever so much for taking this trip on The New York Mystery Machine.
Time and a hall, but for ghosts.